Welcome to the pod, guys. We're back today with the Tacticos. Unfortunately, Milan couldn't make it this week, so we've got a special guest today. The main man himself. From the slums of Brum. Trained by Ra's al Ghul. Some say he knows where the Lazarus pit is. The kingpin of Brum. Some call him B.O.B. He who shall not be named. Mr. Villa himself. What a grand entrance for Mr. Villa.
Oh, man. That was something. Oh, that was something. That was something, man. Thank you for that intro. You've got me in tears already.
No, that's fine. So I think what we tend to do is just do a roundup of all the games, just kind of talk about hot topics, and then obviously just give our kind of thoughts. And obviously Bilal here is a Liverpool fan. Obviously, as you guys know, I'm a United fan, so keen, good rivalry there as well.
The rivalry's going on.
So Bilal will have a different take on certain things.
The rivalry's been going on.
So we'll kick off with the main game of the weekend. Man City Chelsea versus Man City at the Bridge. 4-4. Did you watch the game?
I watched the game. Crazy, crazy game, man. Crazy.
What do you think?
To be honest, I think Chelsea, they're turning around. I think I've seen a very good improvement from them. The Tottenham game, as we've seen on that Monday night, and then to go toe to toe with Man City, I think hats off to them, you know. And if I'll be honest, I think Chelsea should have won that game. Or what about you? Don't you think Chelsea should have won the game?
Yeah, I agree. I think Chelsea should have won that. I think they scored that jammy goal at the end, City, that deflected goal. If that goal doesn't go in, I think that whatever time was left in that game, well, maybe like 10 minutes, I think Chelsea were literally going to probably go grab the winner. But yeah, you know, I think obviously key talking points in the game, penalty again given to Man City, soft VAR intervention, unnecessary, exactly the same as what happened to them in the United game. You know, kind of gives them that front foot straight away. They allow them to go 1-0 up. You're basically giving them a free goal, you know, with that bullshit goal. So you're telling me after that whatever happened in the box here, you're telling me that never happened again in the whole game.
That's a load of rubbish.
So when Chelsea had a corner, you're telling me there's not mans like Rodri and like Ruben Diaz like pulling mans in the box?
They get away with it all the time. Why is it not?
Well, this is it. Why are they not giving? If you want to give a penalty for that, then you've got to give about 10 penalties a game. Because that happens all the time.
Get all the decisions go their way.
Yeah, 100%. I agree on that as well. And that's just, you're fighting against the ref, you know, when you play them. You're already, like we saw in the United game, like we saw in Chelsea game, you're basically 1-0 down before the game even kicks off. You just know that. You know, the ref ain't going to give any decisions against Man City. Key decisions like a penalty or, like, you know, like maybe sending a player off, they will go in favour of Man City. You know, and obviously when it comes into the big games, they tend to get the favourable decisions. You know, United, they got it. Chelsea, again, they got it. Fair play to Chelsea. As soon as they scored, they went and got a goal back. You know, and then they went 2-1 up, and then obviously they scored the goal after that, just before the half, a Kanji header. And then after that, the game was kind of like, you know, really set in stone. Again, City came out firing out the block second half. Haaland scored that goal. across the box.
The
And then Chelsea again came back.
I think that's the thing with Man City. To fight Man City, you have to go toe to toe with them. And hats off to Chelsea because normally other teams, if they'd conceded a penalty and Man City obviously scored, their morale and team chemistry would be down. But Chelsea obviously had that fight in them this weekend. And hats off to them for trying their best. And obviously, it's a shame they only got 1 point because I think they deserve three. But yeah, hats off to them for smashing it, to be honest.
And I think fair play to Poch as well. I think you've got to give him credit where it's due. I think in the lesser teams they've not probably got the job done because they're probably playing a low block, the opposition team, and probably a bit difficult to break them down, which is a problem for a lot of teams. As a United fan, I know that's a problem for us. In the big games against Liverpool, they drew 2-2. Arsenal, they drew 2-2 again. Arsenal, they probably should have won. Man City, you can probably argue the fact that they played fantastic, bit of luck their way. They probably go on and win that game, 3 points there as well. Spurs, obviously, they went and won. So Poch is actually doing a fantastic job, and obviously people forget that this is a very new team. A lot of the players are not purchased by him; they're purchased by the club. So he's kind of been given these set of players that basically, like, yeah, go on, make it work. That's kind of what he's been given, but. They've got some key players coming back, and obviously on their team, they're just going to build on that team. They've got some fantastic players they build a team around. Obviously, the one to mention is Cole Palmer.
Huge.
I think he's literally like a Foden regen. The way he glides, it's literally like Foden. The way he glides, he's literally a regen of Cole Foden, younger version of him. And fair play to him. I think Pep was saying that, I think they were asking the question that, why didn't you keep him? But I don't think that was the question. I think Pep wanted to keep him, he didn't want to stay. He wanted to play first team, and fair play to him. Like, he's down the pecking order. If you're going to look at all of them, Bernardo Silva, Grealish, Doku, Foden, Alvarez, like the whole gang, he was probably at the bottom of Pep's list, when he gets to a chance to play. And obviously, Chelsea came knocking, they were like, you know what, you play week in, week out for us. And obviously, he's gone and taken the chance, and he's absolutely
To be
killing it right
honest,
now.
seeing him play for Chelsea right now, he definitely deserves first team football.
Yeah, 100%. And obviously, in that Chelsea team, there's no one really that can replace him. He's got the chance to play, and he's taken it. And he's just going to get better and better. And obviously, that the more those players play together, the more they create that cohesion, it's just going to grow. From that perspective too. So yeah, obviously, like, it was a great game, great kind of things to. Well, great for neutral to see, and yeah, I think from our perspective as a United fan, I would take that. I want City to lose, so they drop points. I'm happy with that. I don't want them to like start running away with it. And obviously, it's perfect because next game after that is you lot play them, Liverpool at the Etihad, where they start giving out free tickets just to fill the stadium up.
Do you know what? I don't, to be honest, yeah, even as a Liverpool fan, I'm tired of Man City winning the Premier League. It's just getting boring. And do you know when they win from a marginal
And I think
gap, like I really wanted Arsenal to win, but to go up against Man City, you gotta fight them toe to toe. And to win, you can't win by like 1 or 2 points. You have to win by a margin. Like the year when Liverpool won it, obviously the gap was great. So even if you lose a game, Man City can't catch up with you. Because I feel any team that goes toe to toe with Man City and you have like a small point margin, it don't work because they just catch up. City being City, and then they have this game in hand or another game in hand, and before they're not losing them with this game in hand. So it's just. It's just boring, really.
Yeah, agree. I think the resource that they have is just crazy, isn't it? In terms of like spend. Obviously, they spend their resource well, so fair
And you
play to them
know,
on that. They
yeah, you're
invest
right.
it.
And you know what it is with Man City? Their squad depth. If one or two players are getting injured, they don't need them. Other players in the team step up. So Pep can rotate his team. He can play his team around different players. If they're playing midweek football, Champions League or cup games, he's swapping the team and those players are giving it all. That's why they're coming out with these results.
Yeah, 100%. Like, Jeremy Doku obviously didn't have like probably the best of games, but he's a top player, man. Like, he's gonna, when he kind of gets clicking, he's still young as well, he's gonna rip. You're gonna see a lot of videos, man, of this guy ripping players, sitting them down as well.
Do you know what? I think he's found his rhythm. The past few games, he's been on it. But like you said, 100%. I think he is. Once, I feel like if he gives more of that spark, I think there's a lot more to him than what we're seeing, you know. And I think you're right. He's probably going to be taking on players for a joke.
Yeah, definitely agree. Or moving on to, I think, the other big game for me, which I actually watched. I watched, I think, the second half. And then I was following it kind of here and there, the first half. And then it was the Wolves Tottenham.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Obviously, happy Tottenham loss. Just Tottenham, innit? I think people like get too gassed. Well, the Tottenham fans or whatever they want to say, however many there are, probably like 5 or 6 of them, or like even the general media, they're just getting too gassed, bro. And it's on this like Ange bandwagon, bro. You know what I mean? Bro, like, this guy finally got injuries. Everyone said it. Maddison is going to get injured. Yeah? There's certain things in life that are given. Yeah? Yeah. Life, death, and Maddison getting injured. Yeah? You know, that is given in life, bro. There's no ifs, no buts about it. You know, he is going to get injured. He's injured now. He's injured till Jan. And we saw it in that game. Bro, they had 3 fucking shots, bro. I swear they didn't have anything more than that. They had 3 shots in the first half, and then, or they had 2 shots in the first half, and then come the end of the game, they had 6 shots all overall. You know, so it's not the Spurs that we saw before. The defense has basically been ripped apart in that game. Udogie suspended, Romero suspended, and then Van der Vaart is injured. You know, and then everyone's keeps mentioning, oh they got injuries, but fucking us United, we've got fucking 11 players out, bro. Each week rolling, there's a player every game that gets injured. Each game, bro, someone gets injured. So Hoyland is injured now, Evans is injured, so even though our defense is on scraps and bones, so we're back to 11 injuries. 11 fucking injuries, bro. That's a whole XI, like literally a whole 11. No team has that type of injuries. That's like 5-6 teams worth of injuries list. We got that in one team. And people are like, oh, United don't have identity. They play shit at football. Bro, how can you, if you've got 11 fucking injuries, how are you expecting us to play fucking football? Like, the whole team's just scraps, bro. You know what I mean? You've got mans like Maguire, who's become like one of our best players. You know, we've relied on the squad, but we've not had consistent players playing. So it comes back to Spurs, obviously coming back to Spurs, and they lost. They got absolutely pumped that game. They deserved to lose. I don't even know how they got a goal. You know, another day, they probably lose at 4-1. Yeah, and Wolves deserved it. But the manner in which Wolves won, like the last minute, I think that burns more, you know, in terms of if you lose in the last minute, I think that hurts you more. But fair play to Wolves, man. Fair play to Gary O'Neill as well, you know.
Do you know? Yeah, I have. The funny thing is, yeah, on Saturday, I didn't see the first half. But when I got home, obviously the game kicked off 1-0 Spurs, and I didn't think anything of it. Then I was just flicking through to see, oh, let's see what the score is. As soon as I turned on the TV, 1-1. And then 2-1. And I thought, what the hell's going on here? I was thinking, where's the Tottenham we've been seeing all season? And literally, like you said, innit? The last minute of the game, I'm not going to lie, ever since obviously the Tottenham-Liverpool game, I'm just bare bitter with Tottenham. I'll be honest, straight up. And I don't want them to win the rest of the games. And to see them lose like that, I loved it. And like you said, with all these injuries, I think it's just an excuse. Obviously, even like when Liverpool get injuries, Jurgen Klopp or whoever, he gets criticized. So why can't Tottenham get criticized about it? Why can't any other team get criticized by it?
Well, this is it. You know, like, I think when players are missing, then obviously people or the managers get the shtick for it. But for them, they've got this fallback that, oh, this person injured, that person injured, that person injured. But, you know, that is the Premier League. You know, people get injured. You know, that happens. You have to factor that in. You know, you're not going to go a whole season with no injuries. It's impossible.
See, this is where I think,
but yeah.
You know, Man City, when it comes to squad depth,
yeah, like Kevin De Bruyne's gone, but no one even remembers him. But
he's a ghost.
You know what I mean? Yeah, no one even remembers this guy, bro. Because like the other players are chipping in so well, like, you know, like you don't feel that presence of Kevin De Bruyne not there because they're still banging goals. You know, they're not missing that in that sense. So, but obviously when he comes back, he's still gonna be a massive player. Obviously, move on to Liverpool game. I didn't actually watch the game. I obviously saw it. I think Mo Salah scored 2 goals. What is he, Liverpool's all-time goal scorer now, something like that? Or...
really goals.
Yeah, quality player. And then obviously, I think Nunez assisted. I think like just it was just basically normal day in the office for Liverpool, from what it seems. But it seems like Brentford had some chances.
They did. They had a good chance. If it wasn't for Alisson, one of the one-on-one, I think they counted to Liverpool, from what I can remember. And Alisson made a really good save. Otherwise, you know what? That could have turned the game around. And normally, Brentford do kind of okay against Liverpool, you know? Liverpool always concede to Brentford.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you know, Brentford,
they... So. And Brentford a bit of a funny team as well right now. Times, you know? Yeah, very kind of hard to break. They create chances, very clinical up top as well. You know, they've got obviously like a couple of Mbeumo and Wissa, you know, that are very clinical when it comes to like finishing, and obviously they've got blistering pace. And that model seems to work for them. But yeah, obviously just a standard day in the office, and it seems like don't think he had any injuries in that game. I feel like, obviously, I think Van Dijk played quite well. I think Timoskas played quite well. I think generally the whole team played well, apart maybe Watoro Endo.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like he's not broken in that well. He's doing all right, but I still feel he can give us a lot more than what he can offer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where was Gravenbach? Was he playing? Oh.
No.
Or he's injured.
No, I don't think he's injured. I don't think he played.
Yeah. Obviously now you got international break, so it's like
but you know what I hate about international break? International break, Liverpool players are always bound to get injured. 100%.
Yeah. Perfect timing as well, you know, just before the City game. Couple of them come back injured. Yeah.
Talking of the City game, what do you think? Can Liverpool beat them?
It's at the Etihad, so I don't know. I think you lot generally, I think obviously there's been a couple of games where you haven't performed there recently, where they've thrashed you. But generally, I think you guys can get a result at their pitch. And I think obviously they've conceded 4 goals. So you can obviously score goals. I think that fixture always has
it's
goals.
It's a high scoring fixture, yeah.
You're right. It's a high scoring fixture, man. And I think it'll come down to like clinicalness and probably who can probably outscore. It will come down to a midfield battle. I think you lot might struggle a bit depending on how you play it, because obviously I don't think Watoro Endo is the player to probably play in DM for that game.
Yeah. You know, I don't think he's ready.
Like, Their midfield's a bit more solid when it comes down to it. They've got Rodri, and then they play. I don't know. Maybe they put Matías Núñez in there, to just buff it up. Maybe put Kovacic. They've got options. You don't have that options. You've got Ouattara, Endo, and you've probably got Gravenberch. That's it. You don't really have anything else other than that. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, but I wouldn't be surprised, if you go beat them. If you beat them, that's an amazing result, on that front. But a draw would be great as well. If you get a draw, that's a great result. But I definitely think you lot will score. But I think they might edge it. They might outscore you, and I think that's what it'll come down to. Because just because of that protection in front of your defense, it's not as good. Like if you had like when back in the day when you had Fabinho, he offers that. Well, he's not there anymore. But he was a good kind of player to kind of break that defense. Sitting in front of like Van Dijk, it was great. But now you've got like Ouattara, Endo. He doesn't have that presence on the pitch. Physical presence and probably technical presence as well. Like in that game, you're not going to get many touches of the ball, and you've got to be quick. You've got to shift that ball quick. I think Szoboszlai would be the main man for you on that game. Szoboszlai, obviously, and the other one would be Mo Salah. Obviously, the key thing to watch out will be Trent against Doku, because I think he is definitely going to play Doku against you lot.
It's that pace, 100%, yeah.
Pace. He's
He's
going to
gonna
want.
want him
He's
to
going
run down that
he's
wing,
going to
yeah.
tell him you go after. Grealish has not got pace. He's very much starts off on the left, runs all the way to the right, gets fouled in the middle, dives on the floor, holds his leg for about half an hour, and then gets up. And then that's literally Grealish, like rinse and repeat. But I think Doku's got more directness. He's got the trickery, the skill. And if I'm Pep, I'm definitely starting Doku against Trent. Because the best way to stop an attacking fullback from defending or from attacking, sorry, is make him defend. So they can't push up. So I think that's one way Pep looks to Trent down. And obviously keep it on that front. I don't know,
Do you
what
know
do
one
you
thing I know about playing Man City is if you don't take your chances and you're not clinical against Man City, they'll punish you. And normally in the past, Liverpool have always played on the front foot, the attacking football, which is too fast for Man City to keep up with. So they normally go on to win the game, but then in the past two meetings, Liverpool have like kind of flopped there. Like you said, innit?
Yeah, I think you
It's
lot.
like you see, yeah.
I think that last game you started off well, and then they just steamrolled you after that. I think Van Dijk fucked it or something. But Van Dijk looks like he's got a bit of form now. He looks a bit better than what he was last season. He looks better now. Interesting to see if he plays Konaté, Van Dijk, which I think he plays that. I think he has. Is Konaté injured or is he?
He was injured. He took a slight knock, didn't he? But hopefully he comes back, and hopefully,
Yeah.
I hope he doesn't get picked or whatever, man, for international if he's fit to play. But you're right. For me, I see it as Van Dijk and Konate. It has to be.
Yeah, you
I
need
feel like
that
Joe, yeah, Joe
physical
Gomez
pace.
is a liability.
Yeah, Joga, that's not a game for
Bro, he'll
Joga.
get
There's no
bullied,
chance.
man.
Yeah.
You get eaten alive.
I think obviously moving off that game, going on to the United game, beat Luton 1-0, doesn't look that flattering, looks pretty shit if you look at it from like outside in. But I think generally I thought we played quite well. We should have probably won 4-0. We had quite a lot of clear cut chances, not like half chances, but we had some clear cut chances. Strikers again blanking, they're not performing, the strikers, it's just they don't seem to have the luck. Like I think when you're up top you need a bit of luck, you need that kind of couple of goals to go in your way, you get that confidence, and then it kind of builds up from there. And I think none of our forwards at the moment have that. And I think it's kind of like a ticking time bomb at the moment. I think it will come, but it's kind of like when. And I think our defense and midfield is kind of solidifying itself at the moment. Like, it is getting better. Reguilón was great. Wan-Bissaka is back into the team. So he's a massive player to have, even though he was injured. So he got pulled out ill. I think we've got Kobbie Mainoo coming back. Varane is now back as well. Mason Mount looked quite good. Fair play to him. I think not big fan of Mason Mount. I wouldn't say he's like the best player ever. I think he's an okay player. I think you can make him work. I think he can work in the system. But I think he just needs a run of games. And unfortunately for him, he's not really had that. And I feel like he probably should have deserved it compared to other players probably getting a bit more run, aka Christian Eriksen. That guy's a load of shit, bro. Christian Eriksen, bro. Bro, I swear down, bro. He is the slowest Donny on the pitch. He has no fitness, nothing. And this guy plays, bro. He gets outrun by everyone, bro. Like, you're playing with 10 men when this guy plays. Like, he's a load of shit. Like, yeah, maybe technically, whatever. But again, we saw it in the Luton game. He can't get on the ball. He's physically just not there. How can you keep pace? Yeah, he's one that needs to be shifted. I think his time's up. And I think he played his part last season. But I think, it's one of those where in today's football, his fitness has massively declined. And obviously, he's got that heart condition. So I don't know if that impacts it or not. Probably does. But, if you're playing at Man United, unfortunately, you can't be putting in those kind of performances. Like, especially when it comes down to covering the ground and given the position that he plays as a midfield. I think generally, let's see what happens after international break, what players come back, and then how we kind of perform. We've got, I think, our next game is Everton away. Always a bit of a dodgy game for us, Everton away. It's a bit kind of like a bogey ground. I think Everton, moving on to that, Everton on good form. I think we won
Yeah,
in
he
at
did.
Palace 3-2.
Doucouré.
Right at the end. Yeah. You love Everton, so you can
I love
tell me what
Everton.
happened in the
You
game.
mad? You must be having a laugh at me. I love Everton. Although in having
Evertonian.
although having said that, most of these Liverpool players that play for Liverpool, didn't they grow up liking Everton?
Yeah, I think Everton, I think that was a team, innit? Like locals and stuff like that. I don't know, man. I'm not sure about that. But Liverpool's always been quite a big team as well. So I don't
Merseyside.
know. But yeah, Merseyside. I think the other game, Villa doing what Villa do.
Oh my God.
I think
Villa,
just
Aston Villa right now.
winning it.
Unai Emery, what he's done for that club and team, it is brilliant, man.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. The goals they're
John
scoring as
McGinn,
well. The players they've brought in.
he's been
Yeah,
scoring
and you look at that team,
survivors
like from
recently.
100%. I think you look at that team. You look at that midfield. They've got Kamara, Douglas Luiz, John McGinn, Tielemans, and then they've got pace up top, to really beat that midfield. Like, that's a energetic, physical midfield. You know what I mean? Like, if you want to go toe to toe against that midfield, that's like going to be a long day. And that's where they win their games. Their midfield is like compact. It's energy, it's got creativity, it's physical, and they offer that protection for their defense. So it allows Matty Cash,
Yeah.
Digne to go forward, offer that outlet. And obviously, we've seen Ollie Watkins get the goals. And obviously, at top, you've got Diaby, and he's obviously like coming through now as well. And I think on the bench, you've got Leon Bailey. So they've got more options when it comes down to it. They've got Zaniolo on the bench. What a player he is as well. And I think he's a matter of time before he kind of clicks into that team. But yeah, Villa
Do you
is
know what it
definitely
is?
one to keep
I
watching out
feel
for, I
like
think.
Unai Emery, he's coming, yeah. He's looked at the Villa team. He's looked at each position. and he's thought what kind of player I need to like fit the jigsaw puzzle kind of thing. And hats off to him, man, because he's got a real good side playing good football there at the minute, man.
No, 100%. I definitely agree. And yeah, I think his signings have been great. I think they've all kind of worked out in play. And yeah, let's see how they kind of, as the season goes on, let's see how they kind of, how it kind of plays out. At the moment, I think they're like 3 points off City. So City are top. So 3 points off top, basically. So, you know, massive. But I don't think they've played many big teams in terms of like the top, so-called top six. So that'll be interesting. The other one that I want to point out is Newcastle. Lost to Bournemouth.
They ruined my Super Six, man.
Another team, couple of injuries, and then everything's fallen apart. You know what I mean? So I think when people would like to talk about injuries, I think they're another team that's kind of got this soft spot. Oh, look, this person injured, that person injured. But, you know, that's pack and parcel of the league. That's pack and parcel of football. You know, if you're kind of giving Newcastle that time of day of injuries, and why you're not kind of giving us? And they got absolutely pumped that game. You know, I watched the game. Bournemouth had them rags. You know, like, fair play to them. I was like yourself. I thought Newcastle will probably might win it. And then the way Bournemouth came out, bro, they probably could have scored 3-4.
You're not even wrong.
You know what? You're right. 2-0. Scored more.
You're right.
And Bilal's boy, Dominic.
You know what? They put in a shift, you know. They deserve the 3 points. They pumped them.
100%. How do you think your boy, Dominic?
You know what? Credit to him, innit? That he's getting his first time football. He deserves it, man. Do you know what? He's one of those players that, you know, when he left Liverpool, you're still you're happy for them when they move on, because they're playing first team football, they're putting in a shift, they'll get in the odd few goals for whichever club they've gone to, and fair play to him, man.
Yeah.
No, and do you know the way Bournemouth, how they play football, he suits that kind of style.
Yeah, he's got a lot of pace. It's kind of like counter-attack and obviously breaking the lines. And I think, like you said, he gets that main, well, he's become the main man, you know, and he's kind of proven his worth on that as well. I think we've obviously got the Brighton game. Brighton got 10 men and then Sheffield United scored. De Zerbi is coming on a bit of a shit run of games recently. You know, they can't seem to get a win. You know, I don't know what's happening with De Zerbi's roulette. You know, there's all these player changes. I think he's to blame on that as well. I don't know what your thoughts are.
You know, it's a shame, really, because Brighton, last season, and they were playing brilliant football, man. And do you know who, for me? Mitoma. But I feel like he's just gone quiet. He's sunk down. He's gone dead. And I think you're right. You know, the manager, he keeps changing the team. I don't feel there's any consistency. You know, really,
I agree.
Really and truly, I think on a good day, Brighton should have won that game. That should have been like a result to 3-0 Brighton.
No, 100%. I think he's rotated too much, and I think he's trying to do this kind of Pep Guardiola thing where he's rotating like in-form players out and obviously bringing on certain players in different games. And I'm sorry, but given the stature of where Brighton sit, they're not in the Champions League. He doesn't need to be doing that. They're not competing for all four competitions. You know, you don't need to be doing that. There has to be a core set of players that play. I think I remember even Ferguson, who I think is fucking phenomenal talent, scored a hat-trick one of the games. Next game, he's benched. Like, why the fuck are you benching your striker, brother? Now they're struggling to score goals. They can't score goals because, like, when their players are in form, he's just dropped them and he's put like this other guy on. Like, you gotta keep the form players in. And last season, he was doing that. He had Mitoma on the left, he had Solly Marsh on the right, he had Evan Ferguson up top. That was his team. He had Lallana like coming through, and then obviously he had Nsisiko. He's obviously injured now, but he's got a couple of injuries there. Solly Marsh is injured, Nsisiko is injured, but he's still got quality players there, and he keeps changing the players. Evan Ferguson should be starting week in, week out. Let him get a run of games. He's young. He needs form. These players rely on form. So you can't just take them out and then bring them in one game and expect them to bang. You're at Brighton. You don't need to rotate as much as what he's doing. And I think it's all kind of come tumbling down for him recently as well. Games that he should have won, they should have won as well. And they haven't. Again, Sheffield United, you went down to 10 men, obviously, because of their poor nature of form. I feel like they went on and conceded. But I feel like if Brighton were in a better situation, I think they'd probably close that game off and they'd probably win it 1-0, because Sheffield United are not probably the most offensive team when it comes down to it, even if you're playing against them at 10. So yeah, I don't really know where Brighton really go from here, but I think he needs to go back to basics. Just pick 11. This guy even rotates a goalkeeper, bro. He's got that new goalkeeper he signed, the Dutch guy, or Belgium Dutch. He's like 18 or 20 or something like that. And then he rotates him with Steele. One game's at Steele, one game is that guy, bro. You don't need to do that. Why are you doing that? Why are you trying to be like some. You're not in the FA Cup trying to win that. You're not in the EFL Cup. You're not in the Champions League, bro. You're in the Europa League. Are they in the Europa or
No, they're in
Europa
the Europa
Conference?
League.
But I get it. You rotate some players for Europa League. You don't want, injuries and stuff like that. But
Do you know what
come
is?
on, man. Like,
He's
I think he's
overthinking
just
it
doing
too
a bit
much,
too
man.
much. Yeah,
It's like you said,
100%.
he needs to just pick a starting 11 and play with them. Especially, some of the players that Brighton have, they're the kind of players that you want to just run at the defenders because of their pace.
But this is it. Their squad is even better than last season as well. If you think about it, yeah, they lost Caicedo, but still, they've got that Advinga. I think he's a good player, the winger. They've got Ansu Fati come in. They've got João Pedro. He's a good player. He's made some improvements to that team, and you do really expect a bit better from where they are. And I think they started the season off so well, and I think this rotation thing kind of caught him up. And I think he is kind of to blame for that, because you can't really expect anything else. But interesting to see. I think De Zerbi, once he's come into the league, he's always had this positive outlook. Now he's going through a bit of a shit, so let's see how he reacts. I think that's what makes managers, from a good manager to an elite. I think he's a very good manager anyway, but when your team's not performing well, you can lose a changing room, you can start losing games. It doesn't really, it's hard to pick it back up again. So it'd be interesting to see. And obviously, I'm not too sure what their fixtures are like, but I don't think they've played that many difficult teams. So from my understanding, they should be having very tough games coming up soon, I think. So they've got Forest away. That's
Oh,
gonna be fucking
Forest
tough because
away.
Forest are on it now as well. Yeah. And then they've got a Europa League game against AEK. And then after that, they're going down to the bridge
Oh, that's gonna be
to meet our dads.
that's gonna be it. That's gonna be it. But you know what? I bet you, I get at the bridge, they'll turn up. See, this is what I mean. Do you
Yeah,
know,
I
against
wouldn't be
Liverpool,
surprised.
then they look like prime 1960s Brazil, the way they're playing football. And Mitoma turns out to be like Ronaldinho, going here, going there.
Standard. 100%. Definitely agree with you on that. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, 100%, 100%. Well, I think that kind of wraps it up for this week's episode from the Tacticos. Go on. Yeah. Yeah, he's a good player. He's a good player. He's a workman. Yeah, he's a very good player. He's a dog, you know. And I've seen moments of him where, well, he's produced moments on the pitch where you're thinking, yo, you know, where he's like twisted a couple of players, skipped past them. He's got pace, and then obviously he's just missed the finish, but. You know, he seems to be getting into the right area of the box. The dog as well. He can hold himself, you know, physically as well. So he's not one that you can kind of hustle and bustle out of the game. But I think that Wolves team, they've got some good players. You know, they've always had good players. And I think when Despacito was there, he fucked it up. You know, now my man's in, now my man's in Saudi Arabia, right, living it up. But they sacked him from there as well. Fuck yeah, no man. This guy got sacked from Saudi, bro. That's how dead he is. Didn't he have some beef with like Benzema? He had like the best team, bro. In it, he had like the best team. He was Al Hilal, in it. Yeah, he had the fucking best team, bro. Like Benzema, fucking, is that the team with Kante on it as well? Yeah, bro, how'd you get sacked from that, man? But I don't know why they hired this guy, man. That was a bigger mistake than that. But he's shit. And then obviously last season, I think they had a good manager with Lopetegui. But obviously, I don't think Wolves promised, lived up to their promises to the manager, and obviously ended up resigning like very soon, very close to the start of the season. And obviously Gary O'Neill, I feel like he's done a fantastic job. You know, like he's really got everyone going, they're playing great football. And fair play to him, man. He didn't even have that much time to get kick off into the season. But, you know, they're coming good now. And obviously, again, one of the best players, Neto, injured. And you probably would have thought, yeah, it's going to be tough now for you guys to pick up points. But they've soldiered through it. And obviously, a game and the manner in which they won against Spurs, that really does sometimes change the fortunes of a club. You know, just spurs them up. You know, and they really, you really can go on a run after that. So it'd be interesting to see. Yeah. Bilal's favourite. Cock-a-doodle-doo. Right, I think. Yeah, I think with Son, like, I think when Maddison's there, I think once he's got outlook, the players behind him, then he's all right. But I think if no one's there, he becomes a bit, yeah. He just doesn't. He's not on that pedestal that people probably put him on. Yeah, he's not kind of on that pedestal that people put him on. I think he's a very good player, but if you want to be that world-class status, I think you gotta win the game. You know, you gotta have that match winner in you as well. You know, kind of put that performance in. And yeah, you're right. You just kind of go ghost. But I think like Kulusevski, I don't know what's going on with him, man. Like he was good, and then now he's like shit again now. So I think he's been quite poor for some time now. But he's definitely one that needs. He needs to step up, bro. That guy, Kulusevski. But yeah, I don't know if you have any more questions or. Yeah, Lindelof. Yeah. Yeah, 100%. It was ironic. I think the building blocks are there for the team. Obviously, we created chances. I think it's just the top. It's up top. They're not scoring the goals. They look out of confidence. Every player up top, you know, they just look like they're missing chances that they buried last season, or you know, they don't look themselves. And I think it's just about confidence. You know, if they can get one or two goals, you know, the confidence builds up massively, you know, and then I think it's just kind of like step from step to step. But I think they need a bit of luck as well. Like, we're a team that's had no luck, you know, like injuries, firstly, all of the VAR decisions that go against us. We're probably the team that's had the most VAR decisions against us. Most have been wrong. Yeah, but we don't, but the manager doesn't talk about it as much as probably what other managers have done, so you know, but obviously the manager should do so as well. You know, you should create a scene because that's the only way to kind of protect your team. But let's see, you know, how the kind of season goes on. Obviously got big games, Champions League, got Galatasaray away, which is gonna be a long day, and then got Bayern Munich at home. You know, if we don't beat Galatasaray, we can forget it. You know, we're done. So we have to go to Turkey and obviously get a result. But it's not going to be easy, man. That's going to be hard. That is. But if you can probably beat Everton, pick up some form, a couple of players come back from injury, you know, like I think we'd all go into that game with a bit of optimism. You know, I think that's the way I see it. So I think that will be that. I think we'll wrap up episode 8. Obviously, a special thank you to BOB, Bob, as the streets call him, Mr. Bilal. Obviously, it was a pleasure having you here. And hopefully, we can have you again for some latter episodes. So thanks, guys. Well, hope you tune in and obviously enjoy the app.